It's that time again, audience. We are here, right here in the studio. And it's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I am very excited about this show today. It is going to be wonderful, wonderful. And with me on the phone already is our dear brother Nathan, our minister of music, and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. So it's the guys are in here with me today. Pretty cool. Let me get your microphone on. And Nathan, I've got you on now. And PJ, talk to us, Nathan, and good afternoon, my dear, dear one.
Well, good afternoon. It's truly a blessing to be on.
Oh, it's so good to have you on. It's such a beautiful day today. I tell you what, gorgeous, gorgeous day. And we're excited about everything God's going to do today on this show, Nathan. And in a couple minutes, we're going to kick off the show with one of your songs, Nathan Burton.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The title of your CD, which we have some of, if people want, is Beacon Songs of Praise. And you recorded it back in 2006. And what a joy this CD has been. And would you tell our audience how these songs came about, all 10 of them?
Well, they came about as we were having service.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God would come upon me, and they'd just come out.
That's right. Not planned in advance. I love the way you said that. And the Spirit of the Lord just came upon you, and that is exactly what happened, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Wow. And I remember those days, you and... and all of us, we actually started Beacon 15 and a half years ago, and you were there about 2 years after we began, and it's been a long, wonderful years, but I don't mean long in a bad way. I mean long in the goodness of God and the riches of God and the blessings in our services, and oh my, the memories we have of the power of God just falling on us and on the service and on people, and they couldn't even stand up. So many times the power of God was so strong. Oh my, Nathan, don't we love to be in the anointing of God?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So
I mean, even now, as I sit here, I can feel the anointing of God coming upon me.
Yes.
It's just coming upon me so strong.
You know.
And I just praise Him for it.
Well, on October 2nd of this past year, I was standing here in the control room, ready to get ready to take over at 3 o'clock from Brother Chip. And Brother George, who is a pastor that was on just before this show, Brother George was on the air with a couple people from his church. And he looked through the glass and saw me and began to prophesy over me on that show. And one of the things he said that there would be a new, this is what God said through Brother George, there would be a fresh new anointing come on these Sunday shows of ours, that God was doing something new, and that it was going to be mighty, and many, many would be blessed by it, and there was a whole lot more, because this word went on and on. I mean, I don't know if you've heard it, but if not, I'll get a copy of it. It was absolutely an amazing word from God. And then a few weeks later, the same thing happened with Pastor Jim standing in here. Right, Pastor Jim?
Oh, absolutely.
And Brother George prophesied. God used him to prophesy over you.
Yes, he did.
Praise God.
And one of the things he said was that you had something in your belly. Do you want to discuss what that is, Pastor Jim?
I had books in my belly.
Books in his belly. Which
I believe it.
He is determined to begin to get those out there. I am finishing up book number 4 right now, Strength for the Fight. I hope to have it out and published by June on Amazon. And that's my goal. And I tell you, we've got several in our Beacon of Hope Ministries. Dr. Angel, Pastor Jim, several, and Nan that are writing books currently. And we do have a publishing division of Beacon of Hope Ministries, so we're excited to get the word out over the airwaves every Sunday with this fresh new anointing. Thank God for that.
Oh,
and the anointed word that comes forth on Facebook Live on Wednesday nights, and we'll talk more about that in a little while, and on these shows and on our Thursday night show. Pastor Jim, do you have a comment on that before we get started and play Nathan's song here?
Well, yeah, there has been a difference since October.
Yes, there has.
Plus some of the other things that he said have begun to come to pass.
They
about
certainly have.
You going out and all that.
Yeah.
Ministering to the nations.
Right.
Ha ha.
It's happening.
It is happening.
Praise God.
It's just an amazing thing on so many levels.
Right.
Because they really don't know who we are.
Spirit of God speaking.
Spirit of God speaking.
I mean, right.
And, that's cool.
That's wonderful.
Very, I mean, it's very wonderful that God moves in such a great way.
Don't we love the prophetic word?
Mm-hmm.
The word that comes to us, Nathan. God spoke a word through you this past Wednesday night Bible study. What a pleasure! What a joy to be able to be used of God in the prophetic way, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And any of you listeners would like a copy of this CD of Nathan's, you can just send me, Pastor, at bohmglobal.com, an email request, and we will get it to you. Nathan, I am choosing to start this show with song number 3 on your CD, Forever and Ever Amen, because I've been singing it in my heart and in my spirit all day.
Oh, yeah.
Is that all right with you?
Oh, that's fine. That's
here we go. And he's playing all the instruments and singing all the parts. That is crazy. Crazy good, that is. A little calypso music here, folks.
For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen.
Bless the Lord,
bless the Lord, creator of all things. We sing praises to the Lord, forever and ever, amen.
Bless the Lord,
bless the Lord, creator of all things. We sing praises to the Lord, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen.
Let's bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, creator of all things. We sing praises to the Lord, forever and ever, amen.
Come bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, creator of all things. We sing praises to the Lord, forever and ever, amen.
For thine is the kingdom,
for thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen.
For thine is the kingdom,
for thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever,
forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever,
forever and ever, amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
I love love that song. Do you want to comment on that song at all, Nathan?
Sounds so good. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
He's telling me he's called me and he has sent me.
Right. Yes.
First you have to be called and then you have to be sent.
Yes.
And
right.
I just thank him. I thank him and I thank him and I thank him. Thank
yes.
you, Jesus. Thank
Praise
you,
God. Jesus. And it's so good to hear your music again. And seriously, gang, if you want a copy of this, just send an email to me, and I'll give you the details on it, and we'll get one out to you. Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com, Nathan Burton CD, all written, all the instruments played by the one and only Nathan Burton. And he wouldn't let me play air drums or anything on that. He just insisted on doing it all himself. What can I say?
Yeah, right. Did you,
Nathan, you don't know. I've been playing air drums a lot here in the control room since I took over the controls in here 2 or 3 years ago for this show. Mm. I play air drums all the right time, right, PJ? He watches me
absolutely.
All the time. I'm getting much better, much better. Anyway, we are going to John chapter 9 today, and it's really a cool thing. We are calling this whole thing the blame game. And, you know, we had such a hard time Wednesday night with the Wi-Fi again, where we meet for Bible study. And so I went on Thursday, and Nathan, you don't know this, because you're not on Facebook, but I went and bought a tripod, and I built a studio in my home office. Pastor Jim, you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good, right?
Yes, it does.
With that crazy ZZ plant, you know, Nathan, that is just out of control, that's almost ready to hit the ceiling. That plant and a couple things, my little red stool, you know, and all that. And I recorded should have been Wednesday night's post on Thursday afternoon in my home office. And I tell you what, guys, we are well over 300 views right now on that post. And it is a post that is very revealing about what the devil does in our lives. And we call it hashtag blame game. So any of you out there on Facebook, if you are not a friend of mine, and go ahead and friend me, and I'll of course respond. But you can find it in the search panel on Facebook by just putting hashtag blame game. Pastor Jim, talk to us.
And I shared it on our page.
Yes, and it's on our Beacon of Hope Ministries page also. So go ahead, and we encourage people to share it, because the more you share it with your contacts, the more people are getting the Word of God. The comments have been amazing, and I know you haven't seen it yet, Nathan, but PJ, did you have comments on this Facebook ministry we've been doing now for about 10 or 11 weeks?
It's an amazing way to get more of the word out to people. I mean, and that's why we encourage everybody, you know, all of us share it. And so then, you know, our friends can see it. And, you know, we want to just encourage everybody to share it so that the word of God gets kind of further, like ripples in a pond.
It
just
does.
Further and further and further out.
That's because, what's happening.
You know, that's what we're all about, is sharing the word of God. And this is a new way to do it. I mean, you know, we've done radio. Now we're doing Facebook. You know, what's going to be next? Satellite television?
Actually, TV. Yes, it will.
Television is coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Satellite television.
All right, there you go. You heard it first right here on Living the Good Life.
It is coming.
Yes, Nan and I have talked about it and believing God for that miracle to happen. And, you know, if anybody would have told us 10 years ago, Nathan, when we started the show, you and Connie and I were the first show, the middle of April, 2007, which leads us to say that on Resurrection Sunday this year, which is April 16th, 2017, it is exactly the 10-year anniversary of our show here on Sunday afternoon. And it's so hard to believe that we've been doing this 10 years, Nathan.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I was just a baby.
You were. Absolutely.
I was just a baby when we started.
Yeah, well, you can say that. If you're a baby and you're so much older than me, then what makes that me? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm teasing you. I'm just teasing you. We love to tease this because really the oldest person among the three of us is Pastor Jim, and he knows it. So.
Yeah, right.
But you know what?
Actually, I think Pastor Jim is the baby.
I think he is. But you know what? It is such a joy. He is. But it is such a joy to be able to be on the air every single Sunday afternoon right here in our Tan Talks radio station right here in Clearwater. And what a joy to be able to share the word like we are able to do. And when we first started the radio show, we were only on for an hour. And now, of course, for several years, many years, 7 or 8 years, we've been on for 2 hours. So, you know, it's just we got to have that amount of time, don't we, PJ?
I was laughing in here because I remember some of the objections when we talked about, well, because when I came on, I think
we were at 90 minutes.
We were at 90 minutes when I came on.
Right.
And people wondered, well, how are you going to fill up the 90 minutes? When we talked about going to 2 hours, people in the church said, well, how are you going to fill up 2 hours? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not the issue anymore.
They underestimated our ability to yak.
Yes, they did.
All right. We are very excited, and we are excited about the new Facebook ministry. So catch it. Just go to, for this past week, hashtag blame game. The week before was hashtag hearing God. And then there's been a lot of them before that. So go to Beacon of Hope Ministries, their Facebook post page, and they're all there. All right, we're going to John chapter 9. And before we do, Nathan, I want you to begin with prayer for today, please.
Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you and praising you for the opportunity to share the word today. Thanking you and praising you that you called us and that you sent us. And that you speak through us, and that we can count on the truth getting out. Father, we just thank you and praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And that's the truth. The truth is getting out, and that's what it's about, is the truth of the Word of God, the truth about the nature of God, who He is to us, what He wants to do in our lives. And in John chapter 9, we find a very interesting story, and we're actually in the book of John right now and have been. Our series is Free to Live. The last series, Going the Distance, went the distance 10 weeks. Did it not? You know, and we used to, Nathan, you remember the days when the series were 3 or 4 weeks long?
I remember those days.
I don't know what's going on here. PJ, what is it? Can you explain what it is? Because we're already in the fourth week, I think, of Free to Live.
Well, why they're getting longer or what Free to Live is about.
Why don't you do both? Why don't you do both?
I think they're getting longer because they're getting deeper.
They are getting deeper.
So it takes more time to get through it. And this current series, Free to Live, is all about, well, short term, the resurrection life.
Yes.
What it is, how we get there, how it manifests in our everyday life. You know, it's all about living free.
Living free. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And because so many people are bound up with the things of their past, and when you listen to the Facebook post from this past Thursday, so many people are bound by the blame game. They have found themselves the victim of the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren, which we explain in detail on this post about what the devil does and how to combat him. And we are going to go to Revelation 12, 10 to 12 later on in this show and kind of go through that a little bit too, because these are powerful tools to help you fight the tricks and schemes and deception of the devil. One thing the devil loves to do is keep us in the same place, and in our infirmity, our sickness, or our mental problems, or our emotional issues. And we see such an event in John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Pastor Jim, would you take that down to about verse 3 when Jesus says, no, this you're looking for someone to blame. So would you read that and kind of elaborate on the first couple of verses there?
Okay. As Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind since birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the works of God might be brought to light in him.
Whoa. Yes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we talked about it on Wednesday. It's just so, it's, we look for someone to blame.
We do.
And
we do.
In this case, the disciples wanted to blame either the person or the parents
right.
for the reason that the man was born blind. And I mentioned this on Wednesday, there was a time when that could have happened. But in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel said no more. Each person is responsible or will die for their own sin.
Right.
So that time had passed. But we always want to put the blame somewhere.
Jesus even says it right here in the Message Bible. You're looking for someone to blame.
Yeah.
Period. But he just puts it right there. Go
and
ahead.
When I brought up, too, that goes...
Go talk about Adam and Eve,
yeah,
would you?
That's something that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden because, you know, we know what happened is that, you know, the serpent beguiled Eve.
Right.
And tricked her. She did not hold to the word, basically, is what happened. Mm-hmm. And the serpent got her to eat the fruit. Now, what most people don't realize is Adam was standing right next to her the whole time and didn't open his big mouth either. You know, so a lot of people blame Eve, but
right.
if Adam had stepped up and done what he was supposed to have done,
right,
it wouldn't have happened. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. He sinned. He took the apple and ate it also. So all of a sudden they realized they were naked.
Right.
And they hear God coming to walk in the garden, which apparently it just kind of sounded like he always used to do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't something new. They'd kind of just talk to him in the late afternoon time. They would
right.
just have a little chat with God.
Wow.
And so here he comes, and Adam and Eve aren't anywhere to be seen. And so he calls out, Adam, where are you?
Yeah.
Now, it's not like God didn't know where Adam was at.
Sure.
But I think he did that for Adam's sake to know, wait a minute, I'm still coming looking for you.
Yes.
You know, he knew good and well what had happened.
Right, like the father of the prodigal son.
Right. And so Adam said, well, we ate of the fruit of the tree and we're naked.
Right.
And well, he said, we hid ourselves because we're naked. And God said, well, who told you were naked? They had no idea until they ate.
Right.
And, you know, Adam said, well, that woman you gave me gave me the fruit of the tree and the knowledge
right.
of good and evil.
It's
and
that
I ate
woman.
It. It's
that's
that woman
right.
you gave me.
Right.
You know, and this is all your fault, God.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, God turned to the woman and she said, at least Eve was a little more honest than Adam. I mean, Eve said, the serpent deceived me and I ate.
Yeah.
Okay. The serpent deceived me and I ate.
Right.
Now the serpent, of course, does bear the ultimate. He was the mover of all this.
Responsibility
for this.
The devil, Satan.
But Adam just, it's that woman you gave me. So he's
right.
blaming Eve. He's blaming God. So that kind of behavior goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
To Adam and Eve. And I love that. I'm so glad you brought that up Wednesday night. I used that, by the way, in the post on Facebook because it's such an important concept to realize this is a human condition. Talk to us, Nathan.
Yeah, it's our condition to blame somebody.
Right.
There's got to be a cause.
Right.
You know, there's got to be a reason, you know. Things are going bad in your life, then there's got to be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you're struggling, there's got to be a reason. You know that there's just something that you've done something wrong, that you've done something that you sinned against God, and God is punishing you.
Right. Right. That's true.
But that's not true.
But that is so.
But that's what people think.
What people think, right?
That's right.
Right. And as a result of that, the disciples had believed that same traditional belief here.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples say, Jesus says, you're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. I love this next line. Look instead for what God can do. This is the Message Bible.
Yes,
look
yes,
instead
yes, yes,
for
yes.
what God can do. Talk to me about that, Nathan. Then we'll go to PJ on that. Look instead for what God can do.
Well, God does a really strange thing.
Yes, he does.
I mean, because he had Jesus spit on the ground.
Yes.
Make a muddy paste.
Right.
And then rub it on men's eyes.
Right.
And then tell them to go wash.
Right.
To go to a certain pool and wash.
So bizarre.
Yeah. And, you know, people were watching, you know, when he said this, when Jesus did this and said this, you know, go to the pool of Siloam and wash.
Yeah.
And if the man had not gone to the pool of Siloam.
Yeah.
That he would not have been healed.
I believe that too, because the first part of this healing was Jesus doing something very bizarre, and I believe he did it for attention and not in a bad way. Because I mean, don't you think the crowd started looking? Look what he's doing. Jesus stoops down and starts spitting in the dirt, and then he makes a paste of it. And then he puts it on the blind man's eyelids. I mean, Pastor Jim, talk about this. How bizarre can you get here?
It is pretty odd.
Odd.
You know. But again, yeah, I think it was to draw attention to
Yes, I do too.
Who knows? I can't. That's one of the things. Why did you do this?
Yes.
When I get to heaven, this is one of the questions I'm going to ask. Why in particular did you make this mud spit stuff?
Mud spit.
Interesting. I mean, I looked up the original wording, and it says he anointed his eyes with the mud. Now, normally we think of anointing like with oil.
Yeah.
But literally, it's he anointed my eyes with mud. So.
Whoa! How cool is that? Yeah. Mud and spit. Yeah.
So that's.
Talk to us, Nathan. That is so cool. I'm glad you looked that up.
Well, just to think that. That he chose this way to do it, to heal the man.
Yeah.
He chose this way. And I believe, one of my beliefs is that he did it because it was the Sabbath.
Yes,
and when he made the mud, he worked on the Sabbath.
Yeah, he worked.
And he wasn't supposed to work. He wasn't supposed to do any work on the Sabbath.
Right.
But he did.
But he did. And he did. Yes, he did.
And all, that just upset all that just upset the crowd like crazy because it was a Sabbath.
Yes.
How can you do this on the Sabbath? There are 6 days you could do this.
Right.
And you wait till today.
But Jesus did this all the time. He was flying in the face of the religious people, was he not?
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was.
I wasn't planning.
Well, he was showing them their hypocrisy.
That's right.
Instead of repenting, often they got angry.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They just got angry.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was showing them their hypocrisy.
Absolutely. And you know what? I wasn't going to do this song right here, right now, but I am because God says, do it. Show Me Your Ways by Hillsong. Mm-hmm. And isn't that right on?
Yes.
Love this song. We used to do it a lot at Beacon. Let's do it again, PJ.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Show me your way that I may walk with. Cry out.
God. I so love that song. Oh, it just speaks to me. Show me your ways, Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Oh, show me your ways. And God says, right here through Jesus, God the Father says, it's not what you think it is. It's not about looking for someone to blame that this man's been blind. It's what can God do out of this situation? Talk to me, Nathan. What can God do in each of our situations we have?
Every problem we face is an opportunity for God to show up.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Just, you know, this man was born blind.
Yes.
And what Jesus said was, it was for the glory of God.
Right.
It was for the glory of God that this man was born blind.
Oh, my.
It was so that God could show up and show out.
Do you remember, Nathan, I wrote on the board Wednesday night, this is a Graham Cook quote. It's not original with me, but I'll tell you, I love it. In order for faith to grow, you need a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Well, it's easy to say, it's easy to say that the Christian walk and the Christian life is an easy life and no more problems, no more struggles, you know, and you stay a baby Christian.
Right. You got to have problems.
You got to have troubles. You got to have, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble.
Amen.
And because of that, because we have trouble and we see God work it out, our faith is increased.
Absolutely. Right on.
Our faith grows.
Yes.
But, you know, without problems, we just stay where we are.
That's right. So what would have happened to all those people who got to observe this miracle and us 2,000 years ago still talking about it had there not been a problem to begin with? Pastor Jim, address that, will you?
Well, we wouldn't have known about it. We'd be missing a chapter out of the book of John.
Right.
And I would just think this is a throwback to going the distance, but we don't know how old this man was.
Yes.
And how long he had to wait. And, you know, for this to happen, I mean, it just says a man who had been blind. So I'm assuming at least 18, 20 years.
At least. Yeah.
You know, it said he had been out begging and, you know, that he may not have even known. We don't know whether the man knew about Jesus, but I love the fact that Jesus just stepped in. Whether the man knew, believed, we know. At this point, he didn't know who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know whether how strong his faith was. And Jesus just stepped right in, put the mud in his eyes, and said, go.
And back to Nathan's point, Jesus did not care that it was the Sabbath. Would you address that? Because you're a Hebrew scholar about that.
Yes.
Good point, Nathan.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, talk to us about that, please.
Well, Jesus had a habit of irritating people.
Yes, he did.
And
yes,
this is one of the things that irritated them because they had locked in the law, it just says keep it holy. Do no regular work on that day.
Right.
And then, I mean, some things were added a little bit later about not kindling a fire and things like that. But Jesus, in his other times this happened, he said, look, if one of your livestock fell in a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't you go get it out?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He healed that woman who was doubled over. You know, the devil had crippled
her. Over and over
her.
Again, on the Sabbath,
on
he did
the
these
Sabbath.
Things. Yes.
He healed a man with a withered hand on the
right.
Sabbath.
Right. You could several examples.
He delivered that demoniac boy
on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath.
And not on Tuesday or Wednesday.
He did it on the Sabbath, and the demoniac he healed in the synagogue itself.
Right.
Flying
in the face of religious...
Well, because...
Religiosity.
Well, what they had done was build a border of oral law around the Torah. And that's what Jesus never really spoke against the law. He spoke against all the stuff that had been added to it.
Right.
And, you know, it got so bad, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that.
Right.
You could barely breathe on the Sabbath almost. And, and here he comes up and he's doing good. And he says there's no law against that. Uh-huh. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
But again, like Nathan said, it irritated the leadership because, well, partially it was a control issue.
Right.
You know, here's somebody coming in saying, you know what, you don't have to keep all the oral traditions.
But don't you think that Jesus precisely did all these healings, so many of them on the Sabbath, in order to rile up the religious system and to get people to look at the fact that they had added to the law by now saying, okay, you can't do any of that healing or anything on the Sabbath. What better day to get healed than on Sunday or on the Sabbath? I mean, really, you know, I mean, it was like Jesus intentionally did this to expose their attitudes. Mm-hmm. They cared more about the rule than they did about the miracle.
Well,
and the individual, right?
Read Matthew 23.
Right.
His condemnation of the Pharisees.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, he just plainly says, you've done all this stuff, and yet instead of converting people, you're making them twice as much the sons of Hades as you yourselves are.
So what he did was expose hypocrisy.
Expose their hypocrisy. And of course, like Nathan said, they got angry.
Well, yeah. So Nathan, the man is sitting there getting anointed with a saliva mud mixture. And then Jesus tells him to go to a certain pool and dip himself, wash in the pool. Talk to me about obedience versus disobedience, Nathan.
Well, just like I said, I do not believe he would have got healed if he was disobedient.
I agree.
If he did not do what Jesus told him to do.
Right.
Because Jesus did his part.
Yes.
And he did his part perfectly.
Yes. Right. But you gotta rethink about him being led by the hand with mud saliva cake on his eyelids down to this pool. And PJ, do we have any idea how far that would have been?
No, because I know it was at the opposite end of Jerusalem from the temple, because I looked it up on my maps last week.
Okay.
But we don't know exactly where Jesus was at this moment.
So it could have been a mile, or it could have been a few hundred feet?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But so he's being led by the hand, and you know there's got to be an excitement on the inside of him, like, wow, what's about to happen, you know? You don't think he had a bad attitude because he submitted to this and started walking towards the pool. So go ahead, PJ, and then we'll go back to Nathan.
Well, I was looking in Luke 17 where Jesus healed the lepers.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it just clearly says, I mean, they were standing a distance away saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he didn't say, you're healed. He said, go to the priest and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed.
As they went, they were healed. That's right.
Yeah. As they went, they were cleansed.
So again, act of obedience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us, Nathan, about this before I play a song that you are absolutely going to love, Nathan Burton. But go ahead. Let's talk to me.
Oh, I can't hardly wait.
Yeah, you're going to. It's a new one by Zach Williams. You're going to love it. Go ahead. Talk to me.
Okay. Well, Jesus was very specific in everything that he did.
Right.
In every action that he took, he was very specific. And direction was very specific. I mean, he told the man to go to wash in the pool of Siloam. And you know what? He didn't even say that you'd be able to see.
No, he says, go and wash. That's always, yeah, you're right. In verse 7, he doesn't say, then you'll see. He just says, go wash at the pool of Siloam.
Yeah. That's all he says.
Right.
Just go wash.
Right.
But I believe that the man had faith.
Oh, yeah.
That he would be able to see.
Oh, I totally agree.
I believe that as he went, that he was energized.
Yes. Yeah.
And that he was excited.
Yes.
At what Jesus had said and done. even though he didn't know who Jesus was.
Right.
He did not know who Jesus was.
But I love the last line of verse 7, the man went and washed and saw.
Yes.
Oh, my. Mm. This is one of Pastor Jim's favorite songs, too. And, Nathan, it will be yours after you hear it. Chain Breaker by Zach Williams.
Oh, yes, I love this song.
You love it? Here it
yes,
comes.
Yes, I do.
All right.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fire. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Love it. We just might have to do that again in a couple minutes. I don't know. Nathan,
he's a chain breaker.
What are that yes, line about is. The prison, too, you know?
Oh, my goodness, man. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we'll do that again in about 10 minutes. Okay, so let's talk about this because the town was in an uproar. It says in verse 8, this miracle turned the town. We're in John 9 if you just joined us. This miracle turned the town upside down. His relatives and all those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, why isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged? And others said, it's him. But I love the next line. But others said, no, that's not that guy. He just looks like him.
He just looks like him.
Yeah, they're like twins.
And then he said, it's me.
Go ahead.
I am the one. It's me.
It's me, oh Lord.
It's me.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Yes. They said, how did your eyes get opened?
Yes. And what did he say?
Jesus. made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes. he didn't know who Jesus was. He just said, a man named Jesus.
Yeah.
That's all he knew.
Yeah.
Made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. I did what he said. When I washed, I saw.
Do you know, this is the question I want to ask both of you, wonderful, wonderful brothers of mine, which you are, by the way, my brothers, because I don't have any earthly brothers except one brother-in-law alive. And when we see a story like this, it calls us to realize the fruits of obedience. Pastor Jim, I want you to address that first, and then we'll go to Nathan about that. Because we do worship the chain breaker, don't
mm-hmm.
we?
Mm-hmm.
The way maker, you know? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The prison-shaking Savior.
The prison-shaking Savior. I love that.
Well, and, you know, here he was this man's healer.
Yeah.
And because the man was obedient, he went and washed. And not only obedient, I mean, now he's had his miracle.
Right.
And he's not shy about talking about it.
Right.
Because they do confront him, and he says, okay, this is what happened. And like Nathan said, you know, he hadn't seen Jesus yet.
Right.
So they ask him, well, where is he? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know where he is. I don't even know who I'm looking for.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes obedience gets us into trouble.
Right.
I mean, he got his healing. I mean, obedience always brings a blessing, but sometimes it'll get you into trouble with the status quo.
With the status quo, that's a good one.
Because then they brought him to the religious leaders, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when John points out in verse 14, now this just happened to be the Sabbath.
Just happened to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so,
yep.
And again, the Pharisees ask him what happened, so he tells the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, this man can't be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But others were saying, well, how can a sinner perform such signs?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a split among them. And Jesus, on one level, Jesus is the great divider.
Right.
Jesus himself.
Yeah. Yes.
Because of who he is.
Right.
Divides us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he said, either you're for me or you're against me. There's mm-hmm. no real in between. We try and make up in betweens. You know, I'll accept Jesus as a great teacher, but not the Son of God.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's denying him. That's
right.
being against him because he plainly said he was the Son of God.
That's right.
God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Either you believe that or you don't.
Right.
No in between.
That's exactly right.
Here's what was happening. The Pharisees, they split. And I love it. They ask him again, well, what do you say about him?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about him? And sometimes we'll be called into account
right.
for the things that we do in obedience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeremiah ended up in an old muddy cistern, an old muddy well because of his obedience.
Right.
There's a possibility Isaiah was sawn in half. Joseph was thrown into, Joseph was thrown into an Egyptian prison.
Right.
How many times did Paul, you know.
Just because we obey doesn't mean everything's going to go great.
No, I mean, my point is there's always a blessing with obedience.
In this case,
the man received his sight.
Woo,
the lepers received cleansing.
Amen.
You know. The woman with the issue of blood received her healing.
Right.
And yet sometimes that in itself will bring unwanted attention, I guess.
Right.
You know. But God always turns that around. I mean, as we go on through this story, God turned it around so magnificently.
Yes, he did.
And, well, we know how it came out with Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he gave up his life for Jesus, what a ministry.
Yes.
And the same thing for Peter.
And it really encourages us to be obedient, even though we may not know what the outcome is. But when we just move forward and do what God has instructed us to do, like this man did, go to the pool, wash, and he got his healing. I agree with Nathan. Had he not gone and washed, I don't believe he would have had a healing. He would have just had eyelids full of
mud,
saliva, and dirt. Yeah, mud. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about this, Nathan, the importance of really, really getting a hold of what God is saying and going with it, you know?
Well, I believe that he got a hold of it. Even though he didn't know who Jesus was, he knew that he was a man with some authority.
Yes.
This man had to have some authority because he said, go and wash, and he obeyed.
Right, yes.
He didn't question. He
right.
didn't say, well, I mean, well, why can't I wash in this pool, or why can't I just wash
right.
go to the water fountain right over here and do it?
Right.
He didn't question it. Jesus' authority caused the man to move in obedience.
That's exactly right. And when we will follow God and do what he says, even though sometimes it seems a little wacky to us sometimes. Don't you think, Nathan, there are times when God says, do this or pray for this person. Pray for them. No, you know. Or give up your resentment, or give up your unforgiveness, or quit blaming everybody else for your own issues. And when so many times we have to make rough, tough decisions is what I'm trying to get at. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do understand. I totally understand, because there's been many times and that God has sent me to a person to pray for them.
Right.
And it was in a public place.
Right.
and it always caused a crowd.
Right. Sure.
But God always moved. He never made a fool of me.
Exactly. No, because
he always came through.
And if you think about it, if he's prompting you to do something, he already knows the outcome. So before you do it. And PJ, talk to us about that before we do this great song again, Chainbreaker. That's what's so cool about being in here and being the engineer. I can do whatever I want when it comes to music. I love it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, every time God told somebody to do something, I just read this morning about Philip. And, you know, after he'd been in Samaria and preached to them, and after Peter and John came up, the Samaritans were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the angel of the Lord told Philip, okay, get down on the Gaza Road. And no idea why he was going there. And all of a sudden, up comes this Ethiopian official, just coincidentally reading Isaiah 53.
Yeah, just coincidentally.
And,
coincidentally.
You know, Philip asked him, well, what are you reading? And eventually, we all know, the Ethiopian eunuch got saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, got himself baptized and went on his way joyously.
Yes.
And then, whoosh, you know, Philip ends up in Azotus.
Right.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, and continued preaching.
Right.
But if he said, Lord, that's in the desert, I don't want to go there, then the Ethiopian eunuch would not have gotten saved, and the gospel would not have gone to Ethiopia, at least not then.
Exactly. And I think that when we realize that the God we serve is the most powerful being in the universe. There's nobody more powerful. He is all powerful. He's omnipotent or omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is all of that. He knows everything there is to know. We just have to learn to trust him, because he is the chain breaker. Here we go. Get excited.
Been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night.
We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. And you got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, the savior, he's a present shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior.
Woo!
You got chains.
Yes, he is.
Well, he's a chain breaker.
He's a chain. Woo! He's a chain breaker.
He's a chain breaker. Amen, amen, amen.
Can you imagine the chain of blindness all your life?